This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Joining us tonight in the Players' Lounge is an impressive family man with a wealth of local and overseas experience. He's still killing it in the NPL. Please welcome to the show, Matthew Maiora. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. All good.
Mate,
how are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for your time tonight. Mate, look, can we start by asking you, we'll start with our 9 at 9, so our 9 questions. What's your nickname? What do the boys call you?
To be honest, they actually call me the El Chorizo.
The El Chorizo.
I like this.
The El Chorizo. It's a Uruguayan sausage, so yeah, we keep that one in the change rooms, but yeah, they call me the Chorizo.
Mate, I hope you keep it in the change rooms.
If not, it's in the wife's handbag.
Mate, can we ask you, funniest football story or experience?
Oh, well, I've got a few. This one was overseas in Indonesia, actually. Yeah, we're playing a cup game, and it was 1-0 at half time. I set up the first goal for one of the imports there. Then it was 1-0 with about 5 minutes to go. Then we put the pressure on, and I scored the winner. I scored a volley from, like, literally probably the penalty area, and I've never seen so many people just run on the pitch, like, literally just mauled everyone. And it was about, like, 3 minutes to go of extra time. Anyway, all the police and army came to kick everyone off the pitch, and next minute, I'm just in my boots, my... My boots got stolen. I'm just in my socks and my tights, my runners underneath that. I've got my bike tights on. And I'm like, yeah, I had no jersey, no shorts, nothing. And another import player, same thing, same deal. We just got literally raped for our clothes. And it was about 3 minutes to go. So we had to actually look for spare change of shorts and a jersey just to finish the game.
But I hope they didn't steal the chorizo.
No, they couldn't take that away.
Mate, lucky you're in good shape too.
I've never seen, like, it literally was like you throw a piece of meat and you just have wolves just go maul it. That's what it felt like. So yeah, I had no boots, and I was waiting for my boots to come from out of that from Australia. And yeah, I had no boots. I had to play with some other guy's boots from the other side of the team.
Mate,
that's gold.
Mate,
I love that.
We'll touch on a bit later about your playing career, but is that part of the reason why you came home?
No. I came home because, people that know me, I'm a family person. I'm a family guy. Grandma got sick at one stage when I was overseas, and I came back early just to spend time with her. And then, yeah, I decided, like, you know, I'm going to come home just to be around family because, you know, I was just missing family too much. But I was overseas for about 6.5 years, 7 years, so done my time. So, yeah, now I'm giving back to the wife and the kids.
You're a good bloke, El Chorizo. Yeah, you're a good man.
My question to start you off, who's your favourite A-League player currently?
Probably one of my mates, Dimi Petratos.
Friend of the show, yeah. He's flying again this year.
Yeah, he's done well. He started off, you know, a bit lagging back, but now he's starting to, you know, rev up a bit more. So I had a chat with him a couple of weeks ago. So no, he's in good form. He's in good nick now. For hopefully they stay in the top six, so he can play semi-finals and all that again.
You have a second guy that's told us how good a guy Dimi is. So George Lambert, we had on late last year. He told us that he couldn't make his wedding, but he had a good excuse. He had the World Cup on, so we let that slide.
Oh, trust me, it was a massive wedding. I heard about it.
Has he tried to talk you through that strike he hit the other week?
Oh, trust me, I've seen better strikes than that when he was playing back in the day with me in Sydney Olympic. He's got two good feet on him, and he's got balance and everything, and he's got vision. That's the main thing that you don't see much in the A League these days. He's a bit of vision off a play. Like, he already knows what to do before even the ball comes to him.
Mate, the boys have a question for you. They've been asking me this for weeks now. Can you tell us, do you know why he keeps going over and kung-fuing the corner flag?
Oh, mate, I have no idea, but I think it's just a bit of anger problems.
Because
he can't kick nothing at home, so he might as well kick the corner flag.
I did actually like when he did notorious Conor McGregor last week when he scored the bomb, but we can work that one out. I just couldn't work out why he was going over and hitting the helpless corner flags.
Yeah, I think because you can't get a yellow flag for kicking a corner flag. You get a yellow flag for everything else.
So with your good mate Dimi there, does that mean you would be a Newcastle supporter?
No. I'm actually a Perth Glory supporter. Peelers. They're the one that gave me a chance to actually pursue my career. So, and also I'm really pretty close with Bruno Fornaroli, so that's good to see him go to...
Fornaroli, he's one of our friends.
Yeah, so that's good to see one of my companions, Bruno Fornaroli, to go to Perth Glory next year. So,
which team do you think you would best suit in the current A-League setup?
Definitely not the Mariners.
No, I was about to say not the Mariners.
I think you need a whole 18 squad. They might have to clone you.
I don't know. It's a tough question. Maybe if Bruno goes there, we'll probably have a good combination together if I go back to Perth. But I really doubt that Papa will take me over there.
Mate, we'd have to play a formation of about six up front with you joining Bruno and the rest of them.
We can
play the elimination game here. He's not playing Mariners, and we're definitely not sending you to City, because if Joyce doesn't play Bruno, he's not playing you. So both you guys will be parked on the bench. So there's two down.
I like how Senior C are playing at the moment. It's a lot of good combinations. A lot of young kids coming through also. So maybe I'll fit there with Alex Boss. He's not the fun.
After watching the way the Mariners and Brisbane have gone this year, we reckon we could put a team together of a guest on our show and they would spank both those teams. So maybe you can just play for the Football Revolution All-Stars. Could be your next side.
Yeah, maybe.
That'll be good. It'll be a big signing on
maybe
fee.
Maybe we can get a whole new squad out. Maybe we can get Bozza out in goals or something like that.
Why not?
I reckon Bozza would be good for five in there.
Yeah, I reckon.
As long as we don't mess up his hair.
I've got a good story about him. Don't worry about that.
We might come back to that later. Mate, what do you like to do away from football?
Spend time with my family, my kids, my little ones. Every minute I have with them when I'm not at football, three times a week plus a weekend. But yeah, my little ones take the most out of me.
Any future footballers amongst the kids?
Oh, look, my daughter's got a good left and right peg on her. My son's all about the iPad and, he loves to jump around and just, I reckon he's going to be in the circus, this kid.
He loves just
doing Supermans off the couch and all that. So I've already gone through three couches.
Does your wife say that comes from you and your son does all the crazy stuff?
That's definitely your genes, huh? yeah, he's got the craziness from me.
Mate, can I ask you, you can dob someone in here and like I said, they might not like it, but we'd love it. Worst roommate on away trips?
I've got to say, we're on the trip with Sydney Olympic in Brisbane. We're playing the Greek Cup and all that there. And I was actually with Anthony Hartshorn. I'm not too sure if you remember him. He was an upcoming star back in the day. And, I roomed with him and he decided to wash his socks in the sink. And we had a balcony and all that, and I washed all my things, like, downstairs in the washer, like you do, and hang everything out. He washed everything in the sink, and then he decided to pull all his socks and jerseys behind the TV, because the TV is nice and hot, and he wanted to dry them out there. And the room just reeked of everything. I couldn't even sleep there, and I said to Atec Gensch, was actually my coach, and I go, mate, I can't sleep with this guy. He's drying his socks on the TV, like literally. So
that is a new one.
They had to give me another room. Like he is bad.
What reality show would you want to be on?
I don't know, one of the cooking shows or Home Renos.
Maybe a barbecue show. One of the, those barbecues, how they do all the ribs and the steak on the barbecue. I think it was on.
The barbecue cook-off.
Yeah, I feel the background is South American. That's all we're good for.
We're coming over.
So if you come to my house on a Sunday, that's where you're getting. Yeah, that's where you're going to get a barbecue.
Done deal.
Mate, I just heard an invite. We're there.
Trust me. All you got to do is look at the smoke and just follow it.
I'll bring Bruno with me. I'll bring Fornaroli with us.
Trust me, he wouldn't mind somebody scorching him up there.
Beautiful. Now, before a game, what pump-up music do you listen to? What gets you going?
I love my Spanish music. Bit of like old school energy music and all that sorts of stuff. I'm old fashioned. I sometimes listen to like AC/DC, but yeah, mostly just Spanish and some high energy music just to pump me up. And the boys go, "Well, what the hell?"
Bit of Alex K.
I take all their love songs, bit of Cousins and all that off the speaker, and I just put my music on.
So you assume the DJ duties?
Yeah, I have to. If I can't get pumped up, I can't get pumped up on Justin Bieber.
No, I agree.
what's that?
Stick to Alex K, mate. Pump the Alex K.
Yeah, Alex K. All those old school boys.
And just to finish off the 9 questions, mate. Famous person, past or present, you'd like to meet?
I'd like to meet probably Zidane. You know, I like his character, how he is as a person. Maybe Cafu from the Brazilian national team. He played in AC Milan. All those guys. And I've met one of the greatest, Batistuta. I met him. He's a top bloke.
When he was in Perth,
and when I was playing overseas, I was in a tour in Argentina, and one of his cousins were playing against us, and he was there watching in the crowd. So I had the pleasure of meeting him. Yeah, probably those guys.
And they get a good feed too, the three of them. So if they knew what you were cooking, they'd be there.
For sure.
So that's away with the lighthearted questions, and we'll just pass over to you, PK, for a couple of serious football questions. What do you got for Matthew?
I'll try my best over here. It's been a bit all pumped up at the moment, so I'm ready to go. Matthew, you burst onto the scene in 2009, being crowned the Golden Boot in the NPL, playing at Olympic. So you had a stellar season, 15 goals in 20 games. We've seen Sydney Olympic being, I guess, a springboard club for a lot of players. I mean, tell us about your time at Olympic and I guess how that sort of gave you the opportunity to propel opportunities overseas and into the A-League.
Back then, it's so different to how football is played now. Like over there, we're all just training hard. Everyone's going into tackles. But it grew me as a person going to Olympic. I had to leave where I was to, if I wanted to become a footballer, I had to get out of my comfort zone. And yeah, Olympic, I think I was there for about 3 seasons before I got the Golden Boot. But that proved me as a player and more maturity with playing with other senior players in that squad. But look, the Golden Boot, like I say, it's not a individual effort. It's actually a team effort. And as a senior player now, like you try to develop some young kids that, you know, they can make something out of it.
Yeah.
No, you know, and yeah, like I was one of those young kids that was very hungry and determined to make the distance to go. Not just play A-League, to go overseas and try to make a name for myself in that option. And also, short story, it's to prove a point for my dad also, because my dad just wanted my other brother to play. And my other brother was talented. He had so much talent, but he didn't like training in pre-season. I was the complete opposite. And then that was to prove me and to my father, I've done it. I've actually done it, Dad. Like, for him to be proud. And then the moment I played A-League, I got the phone call from Dad. And, yeah, it was just really emotional. And he was over the moon. And even going overseas as well. So
that year when you did score 1,000 goals, it feels like, and you were picked up on loan for Perth Glory, a striker who's in form and doing those sort of figures, were there other A-League clubs that were knocking on the door? Or
yeah, there were. I had a stint with Central Coast for a bit when Laurie McKinnell was there.
That's when they were good.
Yeah, and that's when Bozza was there in goals as well with my mate Danny Vukovic. I was actually living at Danny Vukovic's house for a bit because me and him grew up in the West. So he's one of my good mates. So I had a stint there, and then it was between either go to Perth or wait for Central Coast to say yes, but I just decided to go with Perth. David Mitchell, he came down, he saw me, and he goes, mate, that's what I need. I need that now. So I just packed my bags and left.
Hard to say no to, wasn't it?
No, you can't say no to it. When, so I say this to everyone, like even at my work, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's an opportunity, go do it. So it was just meant to be. It was in the right time. I was in the right place. My body was right for it. So I wasn't going to sit around and twiddle in my thumbs and wait for Central Coast to come back to me and say, hey, we've got a spot now. Do you want to come? So, no, I just decided myself and I just left.
And you spent, so after your time at Glory, you also then had some exposure and some time playing abroad. So I think you played in Indonesia, Fiji and India. Tell us about that. I mean, without going into too much detail, tell us about those experiences and where you enjoy playing the most out of those three locations.
Well, those three locations, also there was Uruguay. Played in Uruguay for about 3 years.
Yep.
But the exposure is totally different. Like when I rocked up to Indonesia, it was all about football. There was no other sport there. We had no rugby or cricket or, AFL. They just focused on football over there, and they were just football fanatics. Like I was telling you guys in that
that grand final for that cup match, we played in the stadium in Jakarta, and I think you can fit about 110,000 or 120,000 people in that stadium. Like, just walking out, warming up, and you see all these people just screaming. It's beyond, like, very hard to explain. And people are saying here, like, you get a, you know, NRL game, 80,000 people, you know, in the grand final, but this was everyday games.
Yeah.
We were always getting that number.
That's amazing.
So, Indonesia was amazing. I've got, look, I made good friends and I still keep in contact with people in Indonesia. Fiji was more like a short stint stuff, just helping out Lotoka, but also getting a bit more exposure in the Oceania Cup. And then I went to Uruguay for 3 years, played there. And that was a different experience. It's more position, more with the ball on their feet, but less running. So over there, when I went over there, I was just, they're like, mate, can you stop running? Because that's all we got taught is running, no skill-wise. Like, I was literally in skill-wise, I was, like, way back. And it took me about, you know, 3-4 months just to get to their level of skill and dribbling and a bit more vision. But I was still running all over and with my pace and with my cardio.
Is there any big names that you were playing with or against over there at the time?
Yeah, I played against Rakova when he was in Danubio. So Alvaro Rakova, when he started, like, now, like, he started with his career starting to die out, like, he was playing in Danubio. Played against Bruno when he was in Nacional. And then mostly, like, players that were in the national team, like, starting to come out of the national team because they were getting older. Yeah, like Sheron Ton and Rodriguez and all that from Peñarol. So, yeah, a few big names. But, yeah, I had a good stint in Uruguay.
Mate, you've basically played everywhere and had so many experiences in domestic football. Is there anywhere you wish you had gone?
Probably Europe. I couldn't get there because of the European passport. Because over there you have to play for your national team, apparently. They didn't care what level of football you played at, but you have to play at least one game for your national team for them to even look at you. Not too sure how things change now. It's probably the same thing. But Europe, yeah, probably I wouldn't mind having a good run there, but you can't wish for everything. So
I think you've done pretty well, yeah.
You can't tick every box, mate. You've done enough. So, yeah, don't be greedy.
Done enough,
yeah.
leave something for the rest of us.
Yeah, I'll live it for the other guys that have European passports.
And you got the upcoming season, so you're at St. George again this year?
Yeah, I stuck with St. George. Look, they twisted my arm to play for another year. And at the end of the day, I got looked after well by the club. And, I got offers from other clubs to go to. But I'm a very loyal person when it comes to if I've been looked after well, like, why can't I do the same back to you? It's back in return. And that's how I work. In that sense.
What are the ambitions for St. George this year?
Look, our ambitions to be top six, to make it in the semi-finals and to prove a point, not just for ourselves, for the whole league, because everyone thinks that we're going to get relegated. Now, look, we've had two games that we lost, that we shouldn't have lost because we should have just punished our opponent in front of goals. It's just lack of finishing from the young kids. And that's what we have. We have a young squad. It's probably just me and another guy that we're the oldest guys there, but everyone else is like 19, 21, 22, in your 20s, and that's about it. It's just more, you need a bit more conviction in front of goals, and that's what's lacking in the boys. I think a bit more confident. If we get the confident on board, but we're playing good football. That's the thing. Like, we're moving the ball around, we're getting chances, but it's just not our day.
Yeah, the results will come.
Yeah, the results will come. Look, it's only two rounds. Yeah. At the end of the day, everyone's saying, "Oh, yeah, that's a wooden spoon." But everyone expected Bonnery to be up there. They've had two losses on the trot, and so have Mounties. Like, and that's why I say to the boys, like, well, don't look at us. Like, everyone else has had bad days in the office.
Mate, you're making this is getting harder for us every week because every time we get another guest on like you that we like, well, last week we had Sean Rooney, this time we got you. So this is getting harder and harder for us because we have to support every team. So there's going to be games we go to. We're going to be wearing shorts, shirts, socks, all from different teams.
Sounds good to me.
I reckon it's so hard.
Have a,
whoever scores a goal, you just put their jersey on. That's right. That's about it.
Well, what we can do is if all three of us just wear different jerseys, we can just go sit in the car when we're losing, and if we're winning, we just pop out.
I reckon that sounds a good idea with a chorizo in your hand or something like that with a funnel.
Mate, honestly, I think you'll start to go top of the pile if you start doing food bribes with the three of us. We can be bought. Trust me.
It could be done.
Biggest influence on your career?
Probably my father. My biggest influence has to be him.
And biggest fan.
And my biggest influence on my kids coming to watch me play. Like even on the weekend, it was my birthday on the Sunday, but we lost the game. But seeing them have a smile on their face just to be there is amazing. Even all the young kids, the supporters, like, yeah, we let them down, but at the end of the day, they're there to support us. But my biggest influence would be my dad. He's the one who always told me what I need to do. He'll never tell you you've played a good game. There's always something that you've done something wrong. But he's actually said it in a good way, my dad. So, yeah, he has to be the biggest influence in me. And even me, he's my biggest influence just having kids. The way I act with my kids is how he acts when he was acting with me when I was a little one. So it's just literally even playing games with my kids, it's literally like my dad was playing games with me and my brothers.
Your kids are in good hands then, because you turn out pretty well.
Sometimes the missus goes, stop throwing him around. So all my kids, I start doing the helicopter and all that, so... He doesn't like it.
Mate, we can't, with the way your career's gone, mate, we can't begrudge his methods. Whatever methods he's used, it's worked. So, mate, I think we could quite happily say that's a great path for your kids. What advice would you give to young players, mate, coming through or, you know, eventually to your kids?
At the end of the day, you got to have passion behind anything that you do. If it's your work that you do, you know, day to day, or if you're passionate about football, you want to become something at it, focus on it. Focus on what your weaknesses are and just train on it. My weaknesses was my left foot and my volleys on my left, and then all of a sudden I've actually scored more goals on my left than my right, to be honest. So, yeah, just for a young kid to literally, if he wants to be something, don't worry about going out, being with your friends. If you have good friends and friends that care for you, they're always going to be there for you. But at the end of the day, just be passionate of what you do and give it 100% and have that desire, that fire of winning. Yeah, it's good to win. It's a drug, but my missus doesn't talk to me when I come home when we lose because she knows I'm a bit upset, but then I get over it. So I get over it. But, yeah, for a young kid that's coming through, it's just to focus on themselves, what their weaknesses are, and just keep training. Whatever the coach says, just, you know, take it on the chin and just go with it.
Mate, that's great advice, and I wish if I had my time again, I'd make sure I have no mates and never speak to any girls, and I would have been a lot better off. So,
trust me, that's
the path I should have taken.
Yeah, I didn't go out till I was about 23, 24.
And then you made up for
it. And yeah, like I'm actually making up for it, like, probably these days, but no, I've decided myself not to do that because I had a dream, I had a passion, and I had goals set for myself to become something. And my friends, my true friends, stuck with me. The other guys that were jealous, I don't talk to them anymore. So they're not friends at all if you have friends like that. So, yeah, that's the best advice I can give a young kid coming through.
Bravo.
Good life choices there. Final question for the night, Matthew. If you could change one decision in your career, what would that have been?
Probably not to go into a tackle. And then I got actually creamed and I done my ACL. This was a couple of years ago. And then I missed probably, you know, half a season just in the sideline, just watching my team play, and I couldn't even do nothing to help them. Injuries, please. If I could wish something, injuries. I hate them with a passion, but they come with old age and old legs. But, yeah, that's I wouldn't change nothing for the world. Like, I've had an amazing – even I was talking to my wife about it the other day. I've had an amazing career playing overseas, played against a few guys, you know, collected jerseys. I've got friends that play overseas at the moment with Matty German, Danny Vukovic, Ian Ramsey, all those guys I played with back in the day. Yeah, I wouldn't change a thing. Just I would actually change not to go into that tackle that done my ACL a few years ago. So that's the probably one thing I would change.
I could agree with that one. I've put one of those tackles too, and strikers aren't meant to make tackles.
Yours was coming off the bench, Jersey. Yours was slipping on a banana peel coming off the bench, Jersey.
And the worst thing is, I actually won the ball, and the ref gave me a yellow card, and I was on the floor.
I gave the ref a massive ball,
and he's like, "Yeah, you went into the tackle," but I'm like, "Okay, so what? I just injured myself." And I'm like, "You're a clown, mate." I just thought, I'll switch it off and give you the clown.
Great. Well, Matthew, it's you've had a fantastic career. Those old legs you referred to are still young. They're still kicking around, and I think St. George are very lucky to have you for this season. I feel fortunate that the young players will be able to learn from some of your experiences. And you're out there. You're a gentleman of the sport, and I thank you so much for your time on the Football Revolution today. Wishing you all the best. We'll check in, but thank you again. Great stories, and let me tell you, I'm definitely coming for one of your barbecues, given your guest list.
Oh, mate.
The people you know, it'll be beautiful.
The fork and knife, that's all I'll tell you.
Good on you. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Matthew.
Thanks for your time, Matthew. Always appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Bye.
What a fantastic interview with El Chorizo. We already knew he was a great family man, but now we know he has an impressive black book and some fantastic football stories. So we thank him very much for being on the show.